This conference is being recorded.
You're goddamn right it is.
I heard a doo-doo in the background there.
What's that?
I heard a doo-doo-doo in the background while I was waiting for it to start recording. That's
so
not the only thing. The other thing you're doing while you're while you have all this downtime is practicing singing the whole song.
is that going on the audio? I hope not.
No.
Okay, good. Even if I give myself the promotion,
yeah,
I'm paying $39.99. Get your calculators out, kiddies. $39.99 for basic and expanded. $20 for the DVR, $5 for the sports package, $10 for what we call the family tier, and then $14, $12, and $10 for the movie channel packages.
Wow.
At Charter, if I'm paying regular price. That's $110.
Yeah, go ahead. You're right.
$110.99, okay? Now, DirecTV is giving me all of that for $54.99. Locked in for 1 year.
Cool.
$54.99. The Choice Extra package with the HD DVR.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder you're handing out promo codes like it's, well, like it's your job.
Right, because otherwise we can't compete with them, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
And here's what I was told in one of my coachings.
Mm-hmm.
Sell them on value, because in some cases we're not going to be able to match the price. You know what people say to value?
Value
they
equals
say,
price.
Show me the cheaper price. That's what they say.
Yep. Exactly. The thing is, the value, you're giving them all the same channels as anybody else. It's not like you're giving them fucking channels and cherry cheesecake or something like that. You're giving them fucking the same Fox Sports Net that anyone else is. Like, the value isn't, you aren't giving them the value. The cable companies are giving them the value. The Time Warners and the Viacoms and the whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So what else can you sell them on but your cheaper price, which you don't have?
Exactly.
Can you sell them on the fucking customer service? Not you, but the other people who fuck everything up that you have to go back and correct? We have the highest fuck-up ratio of anybody, and I'm here to fix it.
Here's another thing. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. We outsource customer service.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not the dumbest fucking thing in the world?
Yeah, that's stupid.
Look, I don't mind outsourcing manufacturing jobs. I get it. You know?
Uh-huh.
I get it. But when your job is to speak English and talk to other English-speaking people,
mm-hmm.
you better fucking be in America.
Oh, my God.
I hear it a thousand times a day. I wish you guys wouldn't outsource. Or I'm disconnecting because you outsource, you know?
I feel like Mr. Morneau is hugging his computer right now.
Well, it's fucking true.
I love you, Dusty. You speak of the truth.
Well, I like Mr. Morneau, so I love you too.
Awesome.
He's a good guy.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody
who
listens to our audio is a good guy.
So. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Even the girls are good guys.
Exactly. He was looking at you, Pearl.
How far down are you looking?
About 6 foot.
Yeah, minus 6 foot. Anyway.
Hmm.
Oh, no offense. Should we maybe start this audio program? And
yeah, we got some stuff to talk about, absolutely.
Yep, turn some of this anger into... to talk about wrestling. You know what? Let's not even give an official... What's that?
Of which I came up with all the topics, by the way, people.
Yes, and I appreciate that because I saw the need to start grading here as soon... I'll never be done grading. I won't have students for 20 years. I'll still be grading shit.
Yeah.
So, I need to get on that. So, rather than put in, here's a little inside baseball for everybody. We usually babble for a few minutes while we record, see if anything's worth using as an intro, and then we put in a pause so I know where to cut the WAV file. You know what? No pause. Here we go. Hello, friendos. This is another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio, and if you've been listening for the last 10 minutes, you realize that it's Eric and Dusty.
Hi! I'm unemployed. Woo!
Boo earns. Somebody say boo earns. I said boo earns. So, Dusty is correct. He came up with all the topics today. Thank the good Lord above. Let's just, let's dive right into the first one. Kind of like Ric Flair dives fucking vein first into some heroin.
Right. Delicious heroin.
Dangerous illegal drugs. Apparently, the acorn doesn't fall too far from the tree, as Ric Flair recently was, pulled over? Here, do you remember all the details?
Credit to Nitin, who posted this on the message board under the thread title, Ric Flair is a damn mess.
Yes.
And it says, and I quote, Ric Flair is facing felony charges after Charlotte Mecklenburg police found heroin inside his car on Sunday. The 21-year-old son of WWE Hall of Famer Ric Flair has been bonded out of jail. To read the full story, go to some website.
Yep. And then I'm looking at .net right now, and I don't know, I think this is after the fact. He posted something about TMZ, their story on Ric Flair's arrest over the weekend on four different charges, including that heroin possession. This is kind of funny as a side note, though. The story also notes that Ric Flair's daughter, Ashley, was arrested last year for fighting with her father and police. We posted that on the old SG. What the hell?
What is it about the children of the two greatest wrestlers who ever lived?
Oh, my God, seriously. The Hogans and the Flairs should have
the... The Hogans and the Flairs are both fucking trash.
Yeah.
How did that happen, you know?
Well, the Flairs never had a father figure in their life. And the Hogan's father was in Suburban Commando. So I really think there's a correlation there.
I mean, when they saw their dad wear a tutu and Mr. Nanny, it was all downhill after that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When they thought they saw their dad in a dress and realized it was their mom with her big old back and her fucking huge jaw. Dad, you shaved your mustache. That was your gimmick. Sorry, that was kind of weird. I don't know. Let's see if old Ricky Steamboat Jr. turns out a little bit better.
Here's hoping, yeah.
Yeah, or maybe Shawn Michaels' two kids. There's a role model.
Oh, my God. Want to be just like Dad.
Yeah, right. let's see. Here's another little side note on the earlier post from .net. This is actually the third time Reed has been arrested in the county. His license was suspended. Yeah, his license was suspended for his March 4 DUI arrest, and he also faced two misdemeanor assault charges that were filed on June 23rd, 2007. Wow, good one.
Holy shit.
Yeah, beating people up? I guess I really don't know what misdemeanor assault charge involves, actually beating somebody up. And, of course, we all remember his DUI.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is huge because this is a guy who could be a future superstar, really, you know?
He's already on the way.
Right, exactly.
He's already got a lot of that 80s shit down. The Junkyard Dog's probably...
He's got it down pretty pat, yeah.
The Junkyard Dog's doing cartwheels in his grave right now. But finally, somebody can take over the torch. Let's see. I'm trying to plug my phone in, too, at the same time I'm talking.
Now, as far as dangerous illegal drugs go...
There we go.
All right, cool.
As
far as drugs go, this one's pretty fucking serious.
Yeah. Yeah, heroin. This ain't your run-of-the-mill coke.
Yeah. Right. Well, I was going to say, it's not pot, and we'll get to pot in just a second here.
Okay.
This is a natural segue to our next topic, but...
Dude, that was so 4 days ago. Why are we even talking about it?
Oh, more torch humor, that's why.
More torch humor. Fucking
more humor.
I don't know. Let's see. How many kids does he have? So David, wait, wasn't David training to be like a highway patrol officer or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, I really can't picture him doing that. But then again, I can't picture him doing anything.
Yeah, no kidding. Except for having rosy red cheeks and no wrestling skill.
Two eyes made out of coal.
That's awesome. Oh, my God. And then who's the other daughter? There's Ashley. Who's the other one? One of them's kind of hot, isn't she?
One of them is, yeah.
Hmm.
I can't remember which one is which, but one of them I'd take to Funky Town.
Yeah, I'd take her to prom. Or I'd at least put a video camera in the girls' dressing room at the prom dress store. two FBI agents recently got busted for doing that, actually. Yeah, whoops-a-daisy. I don't know. This is, so we've got Reed Flair's a big fuck-up. Ashley's a minor fuck-up. I think as far as I'm concerned, neither one of them have anything on Nick Hogan.
Yeah. And yeah, at least they haven't killed somebody yet, you know?
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, they found heroin. Oh, God, I'm going to hate myself in the morning for this. They found heroin in Reed's car, but they only found vegetables in Nick.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Boundaries and stepping way over them.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
That's not fine. Me saying shit like that is not fine.
I humbly accept, okay? Let's move on.
Okay.
I'm not going to do the Jeremy here. Dummy.
Big sigh. Dummy.
There.
Stupid. I was waiting for a stupid... Let's see. Dude, do you want to segue into the pot?
Yeah, so speaking of pot, the hybrid dolphin.
This video surfaced, that's
making waves on the internet.
Yes. Making waves like a dolphin stings a whale.
Right?
I don't know. Every time Brian Danielson loses it is hilarious, but for some reason that one gets me every time when he comes around to, like, a dolphin stings a whale.
Yes.
And then Paul Dan London's like, he totally would.
Gotta give credit to Paul London. He didn't lose it at all.
Yeah. How the hell did he manage to not start laughing during this?
Right?
Brian Danielson looked pretty baked, but if Paul London was, he does a good job of keeping his eyes wider open than most people.
Oh, please, I guarantee you he was. Don't do this if thing.
Okay. Let's see. I will say this, too, and I said this in the thread on the Pro Wrestling Torch website, and I also left a comment on the video. Everyone needs to take notice that Paul London is wearing a Black Belt Jones t-shirt.
Yes.
Jim Kelly, and then a picture of Jim Kelly, and then it says Black Belt Jones underneath it. Fucking greatest movie in history.
Now, I know, because I know you a little bit, how much you love that movie.
Yep.
So, I thought of you right away when I saw that.
Oh, it's a cinematic masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
It's a flawless film. And, Yeah, so I okay. What is this for?
Black Belt Jones is to Eric Nelson as the Toxic Avenger is to Dusty Ewing.
Yes, very nice
trivia. Mm-hmm. Trivia buffs out there.
Yeah, for anybody who's looking for a... Well, you probably own it on DVD, don't you?
Maybe.
Maybe, okay. I was going to tell people to sign up for, or to get you a gift on Amazon, but you might already have it.
Hey, I'll accept it anyway.
I'll take gifts.
50 copies, yeah. That'd be awesome.
What the hell is this video for anyway? They're promoting a tag team tournament, right? Oh, the DDT.
Yeah, they've got a tag team match. Those two against Joey Ryan and somebody.
And Scott Lost, yeah.
Scott Lost, yeah.
Yep.
There's two other guys that WWE has slept on, especially Joey Ryan.
Yeah. What is his... He's got some sort of nickname like White Trash or Ultra Swank or something. I feel like that with his big mustache.
Oh, I know the mustache, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The mustache is the hot shit.
Oh, hells yeah.
God, what is his nickname? Well, anyway, yeah.
But I mean, I've only seen him like 2-3 times, but he's awesome, you know?
Yeah, yeah, he was on, I've only really ever seen him on, actually, I have the Battle of Los Angeles DVDs thanks to, what's his username? I don't want to use his real name. Fuck it, I'll use his real name, Corbin Green. I can't remember what his goddamn username is because he doesn't post on the Torch anymore.
I don't even know who that is.
Okay. Well, anyway, Corbin Green, good guy, sent me his DVDs of the Battle of Los Angeles from a few years ago. Otherwise, Joey Ryan was on the Wrestling Society X.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
It's very good. Okay.
Oh, man. So, yeah, this, I don't know. It's just good humor. It's, you know, not like the Good Humor Man either. It's, well, when you're as high as they were, I bet they wish the Good Humor Man would swing by.
No doubt.
Wrestling is just seriously missing this, and I hope everyone who listens to this show and comes to our site realizes that Pro Wrestling Guerrilla exists, but if you don't, you should definitely look it up. It's funny shit.
I mean,
between them
good.
And Chikara.
Them and Chikara, yeah. You beat me to it. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yep.
That's worth checking out more than probably anything right now in wrestling.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and if you're on the Pro Wrestling Torch message board, there is a link. Let's see. I have to go back another page and another page. On the Indie Discussions zone. Some guy who I think some people might have beef with every once in a while posted the Chikara podcast a go-go link, and I think he's going to like keep the links updated.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, if you're on the board, go there, look at the links. If you're not on the board, look it up anyway, asshole. That's what the fuck the internet's for.
Yeah, Jesus.
Chikara. In case you didn't know how to spell Chikara, go look up that them on YouTube. Yeah.
Okay, there's our plug. And now we're going to start ranting against things now.
Oh, and for those of you who aren't entirely sure about how to spell gorilla in pro wrestling gorilla, it is, in fact, like guerrilla warfare. GUERRILLAJEFFJARERT
That's double J now, Jeff Jobber.
JOBBER.
Yeah.
What a douchebag.
Yeah, he sucks. We don't need to talk about him. Let's talk about somebody else.
We can talk about somebody also from TNA, now formerly from TNA, who sucks.
Yep.
And how bad it's going to suck that he might show up on WWE television someday.
I'm very sad about this. Mm-hmm.
Lance Hoyt, the guy who looks like someone threw Kevin Nash in a hot washing machine.
Uh-huh.
With a fucking tramp stamp.
Yeah.
Yeah, former fucking... He was in the Rock and Rave Infection. Oh, my God, I can't believe I just said those words. I've been trying to avoid calling them by any sort of name forever. With Jimmy Rave and Christy Hemme. Lance fucking Hoyt.
Yep.
Got a developmental contract with WWE.
Just think about that. Just let that soak in.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you all you need to know about fucking John Laurinaitis and everyone else who is in charge of hiring people.
Yeah. And given, okay, that yes, because obviously they're still size freaks, you know.
Yeah.
Not that Lance Hoyt's really any bigger than like a Kenzo Suzuki or something. But and this is the same crew. Think about this though. This is the same crew who had Colt Cabana in their developmental and just got rid of him a couple months ago.
Right.
What are you thinking?
The reason is because there's such a huge disconnect between
yeah.
the guys who are hiring and the guys who are booking and the fans.
Yep.
All three sets want something different.
Yep.
And until they get their shit straight, it's going to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get Lance Hoyt hired, and he'll probably he's not going to make it until the end of the year. I can almost guarantee
yeah.
it.
Oh, I'm sure not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what? Okay. So you mentioned the three different philosophies. You've got your bookers who, you know, okay, you've got your talent, you know, relation people, dickheads,
right.
jerk-offs that don't know what they're doing.
Yep.
And then you've got the bookers who are stuck dealing with these people. And then you got us, okay, the watchers, the viewers, the audience, whatever. So you mentioned them. What, okay, put yourself in the shoes of a John Laurinaitis. When you look
mm-hmm.
at Lance Hoyt, what do you see that makes you say, I'm going to hire Lance Hoyt?
Size.
Okay.
But it's not even special size, you know?
No.
When everybody is 6'7", nobody's special.
Yep.
That's what you got here, you know?
Is that really about how tall he is, too? Is he about 6'7"?
I would estimate. I'm going to look it up.
Okay. I wondered because, you know, looks are deceiving. You got a guy like Tomko who never really towered over anybody anywhere.
Right.
But for some reason, he gets referred to as a big man. You know, if that dude's 6'4", 260, that's not really big in professional wrestling. Looks are deceiving. Like Rhino, you know, Rhino was a monster in ECW. You fit him in your fucking pocket compared to the WWF roster back then.
Right.
He's
billed as 7270.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see about that. You know what? Anybody with a tattoo, any man with a tattoo on his lower back is immediately like that. You just lost a foot and 100 pounds right there.
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Pussy. Okay. Now put yourself in the shoes of a Stephanie McMahon or... we could do this as the irrational people like Stephanie McMahon, Brian Gewirtz, and people like that. Or you could take the rational people's side like a Michael Hayes. I use that term loosely with him. Or a Dusty Rhodes or something like that. You have Lance Hoyt. What the hell do you do with him?
Yeah. No, nothing. What can you do with him? You are not going to get him over. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Who's in charge? Okay, Steve Kern, is he still in charge of Florida Championship Wrestling?
I have no idea.
I think so. Well, let's just say, you know, whoever's in charge down there. Okay, mm-hmm. Now you've been delivered. So let's take this one step at a time. I guess I've
leaped. Mm-hmm.
He gets, okay, somebody like Lance Hoyt. We've seen this guy on TNA for years. We know what he's capable of, and it ain't much.
Uh-huh.
What do you do to develop somebody like that? It's like if a kid in art class is supposed to make a clay pot and he just rolled it up into a ball and threw it in the kiln.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's already a piece of shit and it's already fucking cooked. Now what are you going to do with it? How do you develop somebody like Lance Hoyt?
Well, I think I should approach this like from the Jim Cornette perspective.
Yeah.
You have to find something he's good at and exploit it.
Mm-hmm.
With a Lance Hoyt, I honestly have no idea what that one thing is.
Yeah.
And this is why the Boogeyman was special.
Because
mm-hmm. he had that charisma, you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
He's such a strange motherfucker, you know? You wanted to see what he was going to do.
Exactly. Yeah, he took different to a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can get a bunch of guys who look kind of weird, or you could get a toothless black man with a huge build, you know. You can get one of those on any street corner in Philadelphia, for Christ's sake. It's not often that, and there are YouTube videos to prove it, it's not often that you're going to find somebody like Marty Wright with all that charisma, all that personality, that can pull
right.
off a boogeyman. You know, boogeyman is just one of those weird prefab characters that WWE kind of had in the book. I'm sure they
yep.
didn't look at Marty Wright and think, we're going to dress you up like Darth Maul and make you sneak up from behind a couch and call you boogeyman.
Right.
It was something they had planned, and they just plastered it on him. But no one else is the boogeyman, for crying out loud.
Right. Right.
Kind of like no one else was, you know, these are the two examples that, you know, no one else could have been the Million Dollar Man.
Exactly.
But fucking anybody else could have been the goon.
Yeah.
So it's like,
if you have a gimmick and you can embrace it and make it your own, that's half the battle.
Yep.
Like what Dusty Rhodes did with the polka dot thing.
What am I thankful for? My polka dot!
My polka dot! Yeah.
But then you get a guy like Lance Hoyt, and yeah, if you are lucky, you'll find something you can attach. You can find some sort of personality trait or skill or something, and then,
right.
like you said, exploit it, amplify it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have that.
I don't see that he does. And that's the problem. They're
mm-hmm.
hiring too many people who don't have that something.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and you know what? It's gonna end up a dead horse here pretty soon. But Colt Cabana, there was a guy who had it.
Yep.
And they put him on national TV a couple times. That's fine. They put him on one of their big shows. They
mm-hmm.
had him on their website doing his own show.
Right.
They could have gone so much further with that guy.
I mean, even just as a mid-card filler guy.
There's a guy who could have been the television champion.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it.
Let him talk.
Yeah. Let him talk people into the building. Unlike Lance
yeah.
Hoyt, who's going to bore me to fucking death. He's going to fucking send me to the garage.
I mean, this is a wasted hire. It really is.
Yep.
I would rather them sign nobody than sign Lance Hoyt.
Yep, definitely. Agreed.
So
then, yeah, I think we've kind of beat around the bush. We said exactly what we think, but it kind of
right.
approaches one of the other questions I was going to ask. So you're now looking from the standpoint of an audience member. They put Lance Hoyt on our television set. How do you even react?
Yeah, I don't know. You don't?
I mean, I'd be pissed. Just as a fan, I'd be like, why are you wasting my time?
Ryan, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Is he going to be anything more than, like, second match on the card filler?
I don't see how. I don't see him ever, like, well, you know, what's he going to do, come in and work a program with Rey? You know, fuck that. I don't want to watch him versus Rey Mysterio. I don't
no,
want to watch him contend for a title.
No, not at all.
I don't want to watch him wallow in the lower part of ECW. I don't want to watch him feud with Finley.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly don't want to see him on Raw.
Everyone compares him to Test. Test
uh-huh.
had charisma.
Sure, yeah. He wasn't the greatest wrestler there ever was.
Well, not at all, but...
You know, he did a serviceable job as a babyface. He was a dick as a heel.
Uh-huh.
He was very believable as a heel.
Yeah, go figure.
Lance Hoyt is believable as nothing. I wouldn't believe him if I saw him bagging my groceries.
Be like, oh, this guy? Come on.
Yeah. No, I don't see it.
Can't the checkout person bag? I can wait.
That's why I come here in the afternoons. I'm in no hurry.
Yeah.
Jesus well, Christ. That's awesome. It was funny a minute ago, but it's funnier now.
Oh my God. Okay, thanks.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. So anyway, WWE is about to throw $500 a week. week down the toilet until they decide to fire him. And there's a very good chance he won't even show up on television.
Right. Yeah, this is another one like Braden Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, the guy brings nothing to the table and is not going to last. Because once you see him on TV, you're going to realize he has nothing, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, wow. Well, let's see. We could segue in two different ways. We could segue into one guy who's not going to be on our TV for a little while, like we said, the Lamplight won't be on our TV. Or we could take the test route, who's dead, and we could segue into a dead guy.
Yeah, speaking of dead people, Playboy Buddy Rose.
Playboy Buddy Rose, as I think it was McKelly on the Torch message board, said, "I am blown away."
Yes. I'm reading it right now.
So funny. Let's see. From this is Dan Waller's post on the PW Torch forum message board. Yeah, Paul Pershman, aka Playboy Buddy Rose, was found dead today by his wife at his home in Portland, Oregon. No cause of death is known at this time, but he had diabetes. Worked for both the WWF and the AWA, and was one of the great stars of Don Owens' Portland Wrestling. He helped groom a lot of wrestlers both in the ring, including Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, in their tag team feud with his partner Doug Summers. That shit was classic. And later at his wrestling school, which he operated until recently with Colonel DeBeer's Ed Wiskowski.
Oh my God.
What, are you going to learn how to fucking make racist comments and then stall for 20 minutes?
You're going to learn about the year of the 80s.
Fucking Colonel DeBeers. He was the worst. I have one of those, this weird old tape, and I think a lot of people probably have these, actually. It's like the world's greatest, or like the wrestling's greatest missing matches or something like that.
Okay.
And it was a 5 or 6 videotape series, and I only have 4 of them, but one of them has a bunch of stuff from Mid-South, and it's a combination of Ted DiBiase and Junkyard Dog matches. That was a nice grab out of center field. And one of the matches is Ted DiBiase versus Ed Wiskowski.
Oh, no.
I'm like 10 years old watching this. I'm like, God, Ted DiBiase couldn't even carry this joker to a decent match.
Right.
Little did I fucking know, if I would have read through my The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, the Pictorial History of Professional Wrestling book, or turned over to ESPN at some point, I would have realized it was fucking Colonel rotten-ass DeBeers.
Right.
Let's see. What do you remember about Playboy Buddy Rose?
I remember those diet videos he did.
Oh, yeah.
In, like, the late 80s or early 90s, which was weird because he was a jobber at the time.
Yeah, really.
And they let him do the vignettes, you know?
Yeah, that is strange.
That was a little strange. It was cool, though. I'm glad they did it.
Well, it was probably just a dick move on somebody's part. They probably figured they were ribbing him for getting so big.
Right.
But it's like, when was he ever small? Here's, like, this is the first dude, okay, I've probably seen Beautiful Bobby Eaton before I'd seen Playboy Buddy Rose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty fucking sure that Bobby Eaton is not beautiful.
Right.
But I distinctly remember seeing Buddy Rose for the first time and thinking, this guy is certainly no Playboy.
Right.
In fact, here's a funny thing that I happen to remember. I was watching Saturday night's main event at my grandma and grandpa's house, and it was Kerry Von Erich's debut match, and it was against Buddy Rose.
Okay.
And it was like the segment or two before that, that was the first time I saw the blow-away diet vignettes.
Sure.
So now 100% of the people in that match are dead.
Woo!
Yep. Unbelievable.
And wasn't he also the masked executioner?
Yeah, he was.
In the first match at the first ever WrestleMania, so.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And if for those of you, okay, and you too probably, Dusty, have watched the Coliseum home video version of that WrestleMania 10,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
It gets worse. First of all, I always thought he looked really sad.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. He did.
They would always get that close-up of him. They got the close-up of him during the ring introductions, and he just had these sad eyes.
Yeah.
It gets worse, though, when you watch the DVD version of this show, and they actually show the promo backstage that he tried to cut. He just butchers it. He trips over his words, and he babbles, and he makes very little sense.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Okerlund tries to hold it together, and you know how well that works.
Yeah, and he's so awful in holding it together. Just ask Ken Patera.
Oh, my God. That's a classic YouTube video. Ken Patera murders a promo. And Okerlund's turning and laughing.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen Gene Okerlund from 1985 interview Paul London and Brian Danielson from last week.
Yes! That would be classic.
And even if he did manage to not laugh, he'd still just be screaming, "A little decorum!"
Damn it, London! Settle down!
Put that funny cigarette out! Oh, man. So, yeah, Playboy Buddy Rose. It's unfortunate. You know, he obviously died way earlier than he should have. And he certainly left us with some lasting memories. Whether they were good memories, well, they're good memories, but, you know.
Yeah, I would say.
Whether they were good spirited memories or not, they were still good memories.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We could just move right into, I don't know if there's a natural segue to talk about Matt Hardy. Should we just talk about Matthew?
There's no segue to that bum.
Maybe something about how he's so bull-legged. He could fit an entire Buddy Rose in between his kneecaps. Have you seen this guy? Jesus, no wonder he wears such baggy pants.
Your mom was so bow-legged, it's very easy to fit people in between her legs. Your mom was so fat, she weighs a lot of pounds.
Your mom was so stupid, it's very difficult for her to perform simple tasks.
I love it. I don't care if that's funny only to me. I'm going to laugh every time.
Your mom is so short, I could hardly see her when she said hello.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good old mama joke.
So
Anyway,
Matt
yeah.
Bow-legged Carney Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
Fucking backyard wrestler extraordinaire. He is. He wrestles like he's a backyard wrestler.
Yeah. He just randomly will get up on things and then, like, kind of point his fingers in the air and just kind of go, oh, and then jump off with a leg drop.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Hardy will not die.
There's so little psychology in a Matt Hardy match.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, Jeff Hardy has got the Ricky Morton thing down pat.
Oh, yeah.
But his brother just never got it, you know?
Yep. I feel like anybody who says, like, anybody who heaps praise on Matt Hardy is just being charitable because they don't want him to feel bad because his brother is exponentially more talented than he is.
Yeah, exactly.
And people love Jeff Hardy, and they love watching his matches. Even as a heel, the reactions were tepid at best for Matt Hardy version 1.
Yep.
And that got over with me okay, you know, because at least he was wrestling a style that I could Boo, because I wanted to fucking boo him. He's terrible.
I'll be the first to admit I love that character. That was a great heel character.
Yeah.
But everything since then, I mean, you think, you know, since he excelled as a heel more than a babyface, that he would, like, embrace this role, but it's still not working for me.
Yeah, no, this new version of, this version 2.0 kind of sucks.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
I don't know. I think part of it is when you base your heel turn on something as specific and as close to you as your brother.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to get away from that after a certain point. And I think that's why the original Matt versus Jeff feud didn't get over. I think that's why the Edge versus Christian feud didn't get over. Like, it's just too close for... Nah, it's too... Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. It's too close.
Yep.
Once okay, here's a better example, and I think I've used this on the show before.
I hope you're about to say what I'm about to say. Go ahead.
Big Boss Man versus Nails?
Yep.
Where the fuck is Nails going to go after the ex-convict is done feuding with the prison guard?
Right.
He's going to feud with the dead man?
And isn't that going to feel awkward? To see a show where Boss Man is facing somebody and Nails is facing somebody else?
Yep, that just doesn't
make sense. A feud that personal, you think they're just going to let it go after a while?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Brother Nails, shine my shoes.
So awesome. Anyway, Matt Hardy, though, the reason we brought him up in the first place is because he is injured. His hand was broken, and I'm positive it was broken during his match against his brother Jeff at Backlash, which was an I Quit match. Almost positive that it was broken in the finish when Matt Hardy was duct taped to a table in the ring,
right.
And then Jeff came off the ropes with some sort of move. I don't know what it was because I didn't see it, and as you know, they only show a little bit of the replay on television during the commercials for it. It looked like, in the direction that he was going, it looked like Jeff sat on Matt's hand.
Yeah.
It's going to put him out for at least a month. He did come out on Raw and hit somebody with his cast and knock him out. I don't remember who. I don't care. It was Kofi, I hope. I hope it was Kofi. Anyway.
I hope he killed him. I'm just kidding.
The population sign in Ghana just went down one number. I don't know. It's about 4 to 6 months off from Matt. He just lost the match by submission, no less. That's probably not the ideal time for a guy they're trying to get over as a upper mid-card or lower main event heel spot to take time off.
Right.
She should be trying to get his heat back immediately. I mean, hitting somebody with your cast, I suppose. That's one way to do it.
Cowboy Bob. Shades of Cowboy Bob.
Yep. Shades of Poker Face.
Yes!
I don't know. When you come back, what do you do? What do you do with Matt Hardy when you bring him back, Dusty?
When?
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand your question.
Okay, yeah, there's something fundamentally wrong with my question.
I guess he goes back after Jeff, and they feud for several more months. What else do you do?
I suppose.
I mean, that answer.
Let's see. What was their match at WrestleMania? Some sort of no disqualification or something?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
An Extreme Rules match.
It was an Extreme Rules match, and if I hadn't made this comparison in an audio before, I want to do it now. It was like a very good Rob Van Dam versus Sabu match.
Okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Like, the very best match you can think of between those two guys.
Yeah.
Still very flawed, but pretty good, entertaining, you know?
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
You know that they have better matches in them, and those are against other people.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Like Jerry Lynn or Two Gold Scorpio.
Yep.
But, okay, so you have your Extreme Rules match at WrestleMania. You follow that up 3 weeks later with an I Quit match. Like, you're going to... The load is blown, folks.
Yeah.
There's really not much else you can do. A ladder match, I suppose. I suppose you could put him in a Hell in a Cell, but that's usually reserved for world title matches.
Yeah, I wouldn't be comfortable with that, to be honest.
No. I don't think
so. I guess they move on, right?
They could, you know, we could revisit it a year down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could captain opposing teams at Survivor Series. I don't know.
Sure. I suppose.
I suppose. In the meantime, though, you got Matt Hardy on Monday Night Raw. So if nothing else, at least they're separated from each other.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. They got separated in the brand split draft thingamajoo.
Yeah, which has yet to take full effect.
Not until next week. No, next week, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but wait a minute. MVP had things to do here, and wait a minute. John Morrison, he's contractually obligated to wrestle Hornswoggle somewhere.
But we'll get to that brand split by September, we promise.
Right, yeah.
We're right. So.
So, if nothing else, at least those two are apart, and I don't know, Matt, I suppose he could, he could feud with MVP. I think I read somewhere they're going to lead into that, I think, a feud with MVP over the U.S. title.
I can dig that.
Yeah, it's been done, it's just the roles will be reversed.
Everything's been done, though, dude.
Yeah, there's nothing new under the sun. We did see MVP versus Randy Orton on Monday Night Raw this last week, which wasn't too bad to see. Until the finish, which, of course, had to involve Shane McMahon. Please get over it. Let's move on.
Icky.
That was totally cool to see an MVP wrestling a match against somebody the caliber, not the caliber, sorry, the status of Randy Orton.
I like a girl with that caliber.
Yes. that's good. You know, that's one thing that's been freshened up, I guess, is somebody like MVP has new opponents. And maybe that new opponent will be Matt Hardy in a couple of weeks.
Woo!
Maybe Evander Holyfield will get involved. Let's see. What else did you write down that you wanted to talk about? Oh, that's right. My homeboy Mike Knox is in a tag team now.
Oh, yeah.
With the effervescent Charlie
Haas.
Yeah, exactly. Even Jackie Gator roll drive. the tag team introduced at a house show last week as the Hard Knox Connection.
Yes.
Not the worst name in the world, I suppose.
No, it's okay. I dig it.
Yeah. It harkens back to connections from the past. The East-West connection, for one.
Yep.
I was thinking maybe we could go back and forth and name as many connections as we could.
The Can-Am connection?
Yeah, yeah. There was the Colossal connection.
Indeed. What was Steamboat and Snuka? The Pacific Coast connection or something?
Like the Pan-Am connection or the something like that. Pan-Am. That was the Pan-Am games.
Right. No, it wasn't Pan-Am, but it was something like that.
Yeah, the Pacific Rim Job connection.
There it is. That's
something
it.
Like that. I'm pretty sure that was it. Are there any others? They were really big into connections for a while.
For a while, yeah. It was all about connecting.
And now only the 619 connect.
Actually, a lot of things connect, don't they, Michael Cole?
Oh, my God, what a turd.
You heinous bastard.
Bane of my existence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a good move. I mean, Charlie Haas is an accomplished tag team wrestler. I think I mentioned this on an audio a while back, but really Mike Knox, after he did his Rey Mysterio thing, he did his Evan Bourne thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many little guys really are there left for him to beat up? And even if there were a few more little guys, it'd be a tired gimmick after a while. So, I don't know. This is a good position for him to be in.
It's definitely a great spot for Charlie Haas. It's going to breathe new life into his career.
Yeah.
probably saves his job for at least a year, you know?
Yeah. Isn't that funny that Mike Knox could give Charlie Haas that kind of rub?
That's funny. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that during the world's best tag team run, you know?
Yeah, really. Some guy is going to come along in about 4 years. He's going to wear plain black tights and plain black boots. He's going to look like a mountain man. He's going to make Jacob Blue look like a faggot.
Yep.
And he's going to save your ass. Yeah. I don't know.
I believe
be cool.
it, Charlie, because it's true.
Just too bad the tag team scene in WWE sucks so much, because I'm hard-pressed to think who is even over on SmackDown for them to feud with at this point.
Nobody. They should hire the Hybrid Dolphins.
Yes. Nice. That would be rad.
Uh-huh.
They've both worked in WWE before.
Would it not be rad-tacular to see those four wrestle?
Yes, it would. I would enjoy it. Because you know that London would bump his fucking ass off for Mike Knox.
God, yes.
And then Charlie Haas is an okay wrestler. I could see him and Brian Danielson wrestling for a while.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that'd
Book
be fine.
Dano.
Mm-hmm. Post it, Wade.
He hasn't been doing a lot of posting lately.
Nah, not so much. He's been busy.
Yes, he's been busy with his son,
with his son, Bowie.
oh, Bowie, oh.
Bowie like Joey, but without a J, but with a B.
I understand, named after you, Eric.
Yeah, that's right.
Middle.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, yes, congratulations to Wade and his growing family. We haven't, I don't think we've posted anything, or at least done an audio since he made that announcement. So
no, that's why I brought it up. Yeah. No, kudos to Wade. I really respect that. So
yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's it's an obvious thing to say, but it was a pretty gutsy move on Wade's part.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, that was cool. What else? What else is there? You had real things that you wanted to talk about.
The only other thing on my list here is the NFL draft and the basketball playoffs.
Okay. Well, I haven't been following basketball at all, so you can pontificate as you wish.
Did you see any of the draft at all?
Let's see. Well, and the fact that I don't follow college football at all either really meant nothing to me, other than I know Sean Green from Iowa went in the second round. I think he went to the Jets. That's right.
Yep. So he is now in New York.
Yep. I think three other Hawkeyes went, but I have no idea who they were.
Well, the Jets had a busy day. They traded up to get Mark Sanchez, who people say is the best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah.
So, I guess good news for Jets fans. They got a Hawkeye and the best quarterback. So
ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah, Sean Green.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. I think Sean Green's 23. I think he stuck around an extra year, and he only played 1 year at Iowa.
Right.
He stuck around so he could get his eligibility, play 1 year, and be able to go to the pros. But we were 8-4 this last season, and fucking rotten Ricky Stanzi. That son of a bitch would have been in any of my classes. I would have failed his stupid ass. Every assignment, I wouldn't have even looked at it. I just would have given him a 59 and failed him.
Yep.
That motherfucker can't make a decision to save his life, and when he does, it's fucking too late. He's already been sacked 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
So they are lucky that Sean Green was on that team. That would have been probably a 4-8 team at best if it weren't for Sean Green.
No, he's a real talent, absolutely. That was a good value pick.
Yep, for sure. So I don't know. Keep an eye out for the Jets. That'll be good. Fucking stupid Brett Favre. Is he finally gone?
I think he's finally gone. That's why they moved up to take the quarterback.
Good. Thank God. I'm sick and tired.
Looking at replacing Favre, yeah.
Good. And I realize that I'm talking to a Wisconsin when I say all these bad things.
Well, no, trust me. I share the same opinion on that fucker. But, I apologize to Matthew Fanatic. I know he's going to say something now, but...
Yeah, probably.
My opinion on it.
Yep, that's all right.
But the Jets haven't had a legitimate franchise quarterback in, like, forever. It might have been since Joe Namath.
Joe Namath,
know?
Yeah, probably. Joe Namath, OJ Simpson.
I remember growing up some of the Jets quarterback picks, like Ken O'Brien and Brownie Nagel, you know? So,
yeah, yeah.
Hopefully Mark Sanchez is neither of those, you know?
Yeah, really.
Or else they're up Stinky Creek again.
Definitely. Yeah, I truly know nothing whatsoever about college football, so I'm of no help to you in this discussion.
Well, I mean, we got some good talk going anyway, so I appreciate
sure, yeah.
that.
I don't know why I don't follow it, other than the fact that there are like 150 teams to follow. There are fucking 17,000 bowl games, and you can be 6-6 and still make it to a bowl game. There's
yeah,
just no
that's
prestige.
Shit. Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, did I ever tell you the story about my friend Parker, who he is a he's actually an adjunct at University of Northern Iowa right now.
Okay.
He was working on his master's in biology for the last couple of years, and he had a fullback from the Panthers on his in his class.
Okay.
And this kid was failing, you know, 30%, 40%, whatever, and he was earning this failing grade. No, let's not fool ourselves here.
right.
And he emailed my friend Parker asking if he could pass the class so he could, you know, get a decent enough GPA, maintain his eligibility, and continue to play football. Either that or it was a senior year and he just wanted to make sure he could graduate.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Parker emailed him and he was like, you are getting the points that you earned. If you need help from here on out, you know, come and talk to me or whatever, but I'm not just going to increase your grade because you asked me to and because you want to graduate and whatever.
Right.
The man's girlfriend sent my friend Parker an email. You're just jealous and my boyfriend's going to be in the NFL and you ain't nobody. And I'm, you know,
oh
I'm not trying
God.
To, like, speak in any sort of, like, you know, colloquialism or any sort of, like, don't get my speech wrong. This is some slutty-ass college chick. Just because
yeah.
she sounds like she's on fucking Jenny Jones. You're just jealous? You're just jealous of my spandex and my dirty ass? So,
mm-hmm.
anyway, she fucking gave my friend Parker an earful over the fucking email. Like, you pansy-ass motherfucking football player, you think you're all badass? You know, your girlfriend is sending messages to your
right?
teammate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know what? It takes the fucking cream of the crop to go to the NFL. That's one reason I don't follow college football, is because a bunch of adults play this fucking game, including
yeah.
kids whose girlfriends have to email the TA to try to get them
yeah.
a passing grade.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
That's a neat little story.
Yeah, it's a story to share, I suppose.
I worked with a guy who, this was late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
He was in town for the summer and working a summer job, okay?
Yeah.
And I worked with him, and he went to college with somebody who ended up being a third-string running back for the Steelers.
Ah, okay.
And he verified that guy was a dumb fuck who couldn't hit his ass with his hand on three tries and had everybody else do his homework for him. You know?
That was
so yeah,
awesome.
your story reminded me of that. Mm-hmm.
I like your sayings, Grandpa Dusty. That was pretty good.
Thank you. Yes,
I'm gonna remember that ass. Reference there, that was pretty good.
And that's always a good note to end the show on.
I agree. Yeah, a good ass note. So yeah, on that, hopefully everyone's keeping up on all the sites that we've been pimping, pwtorch.com, .net, prowrestling.net. I always like to say prowrestlinghistory.com for all your pro wrestling history. Go to prowrestlinghistory.com.
Yes.
Yeah, otherwise, hey, go to holdforswank.com/donate and give my band $1.
Oh, yeah.
If everyone who came to our site on a daily basis gave $1, that would be one day in the recording studio for us.
And then just think of what you could do with that one day. All the beautiful music you could make.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's what I'm saying. And then we give that music, you know, well, in the form of a CD that you pay $10 for, but we give that music back to you, you know.
Right.
We're starving artists. I just read an article the other day about how there aren't going to be any, like, successful, like, you know, big money-making artists anymore. Bands, musicians are going to be living wage artists from here on out. So it's like, don't be shy about asking for donations anymore.
Right.
So consider this the tip jar. If you like, hold for swank at all, give me a dollar.
Nice.
And if a lot of people give me a dollar, it'll go a long way, I promise.
Yep.
Otherwise, now I'm done whining. I'm going to go finish my laundry and start some grading. So everyone have a good night, and I'll catch you all later.
All right, and while he is a useful member of society, I'm going to go and be unemployed and watch TV. And, you know, until the next time I'm called off the couch to do an audio, this is Dusty Gaming. We'll try to do better next time.